up just a little bit higher, please.
Thank you.
Good evening. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. I want to read the first 7 verses of Revelation. I usually have to do a responsive reading. I kind of threw a little monkey wrench in it tonight. We're going to read all 7 verses together. If you get down to the verse number 6 and come across, "Thou hatest the deeds of the," that word is Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans. If you can't say it, just go silent and I'll say it. Okay? But all the other words there should be very easy to say. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I'd like you to reach out to your neighbor now and say, "I'm glad to see you in the name of Jesus." I love the book of Revelation. It is the book of Revelation. Not Revelations, but Revelation. The book is named the Revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, verse 1. And as we come through this book, we see a number of visions, and they reveal things about our Jesus. What does this text tonight reveal about our Jesus? It reveals that Jesus loves his church. He loves his church. He speaks to his church. The 7 churches he addresses, every one of them have some type of flaw except for one. All of these churches are flawed, and yet Jesus writes to all 7 of them. And Jesus builds his church. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." The church cannot be built by programs. It cannot be built by people working harder. It cannot be built by those things. It is built by Jesus Christ. It's built on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And remember one day, Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "Who do you say, or who do the people around say that I am?" They gave a lot of different answers today. The world gives a lot of different answers if they're asked who Jesus is. He's a great teacher. He was a great leader. He was a great rabbi. He was a great man. Finally, Jesus asked the question, he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Speaking to his early church. And Peter spoke up and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "And you are Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." The Catholics misread that. They think that God built his church on Peter. That is incorrect. The church cannot be built on any person. It can't be built on a deacon. It can't be built on a preacher. It can't be built on anything, but it's built on Jesus Christ. Amen. The knowledge that he is the Christ, the only Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Oh, Jesus is great, and he loves his church. Jesus speaks to his church. He starts out, he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Jesus wrote his Bible to his church. That book you have in your hand, and I hope you have a book in your hand tonight. Amen. If you don't, shame on you. If you're relying on me to tell you everything, shame on you. Amen. You need the book in your hand. Amen. He said unto the church in Ephesus, write, because Jesus loves the church. It is God's love letter to the church. Amen. Jesus loves his church. It was not written by God to the lost of this world. He gives his gospel to the lost, but his people have his spirit and his word. The early church grew because Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in the Lord's table. They prayed. They came to the book. They loved the book. They listened to the book, and they listened to those to whom Jesus spoke, and they listened to Jesus. And the Bible says that continued daily in one accord in the temple. That's why I had y'all all read together today, because that brought one accord. Y'all, it's kind of hard to read that many at once, isn't it? You had to listen to your neighbor. But the early church grew because it was in one accord. It was focused on Jesus and focused on loving Jesus. Look at verse number 1. He says, "These things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand." Jesus speaks to his people and he speaks to his church. And he says in verse number 1, "The one who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Jesus saith, Jesus walketh. He's in the midst of his church. Jesus is here tonight with us. And I am so glad Jesus is here tonight with us. Aren't you? The Bible tells us that Jesus loves his church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church. Jesus wants his church to be glorious. Oh my goodness, he wants his church to be glorious. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
And I want you to notice, since he loves his church, Jesus watches what his church does. Look there in verse number 2. He says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience." He said, "I know what you're doing." And the church at Ephesus, they were doing three things that Jesus knew and loved. He said, "I know your works." He said, "I know you are working." You know, Jesus knows when we work. We were not called to come to church to just sit and seep and hope that somebody will do everything. We were called to work for Jesus. Light has to work to fight back the darkness. He says, "I know your works." He said, "I see what you do." Can I tell you this? You may not be thanked in this life for what you do for Jesus, but when you get to glory, Jesus will thank you for it.
Amen.
He sees what you do. Don't ever think that God does not see the work that you do. Don't think that God does not see the discouragement that you have sometimes when you work and you try so hard and it seems as if nobody will listen. I know how that is. But Jesus says, "Do it for me anyway." He said, "I know your works." Then he says, "I know your labors." Isn't that the same thing? You might say to me, say, "Brother David, isn't that the same thing? Works and labors." The word works means, it's ergon. It means to actually put forth energy. Where we get our word energy from. It means to labor. But that second word where he says labor is the Greek word kopos. It means to work in the midst of adversity. And if you live in this world, you're going to work in the midst of adversity.
Amen.
The world does not like what the church does. And the early church, they had to continue to love Jesus even though they were being killed in Colosseums. The Christians were being persecuted in real ways. You know, in our world today, if they take away our Facebook page or they give us a nasty Twitter tweet or somebody turns up a lip at us, we think, "Oh, how I've been persecuted." The early church was persecuted indeed. They didn't persecute them by taking away their eating meetings. They persecuted them by taking away their lives. And the church at Ephesus stood for Jesus even though it was hard. You know, God calls his people to continue standing for him even when it's tough.
Amen.
And it gets tough, don't it?
Amen.
Y'all could amen that louder than that.
Amen.
I know it gets tough. It's tough. I asked my wife tonight, I said, "You reckon they'd miss me if I didn't go to church tonight?"
Amen.
She said, "I expect we'd best go. Somebody will notice you're not there." And it's kind of hard when you're one deep, Jerry, because when you're gone, I miss you. Amen?
Amen.
He said it, Tim.
I'll take it.
I didn't say it, Jerry. But I know how it is. But he said, "Continue to work." And the church at Ephesus worked even when it was hard. They kept on going. And they kept on loving the Lord. The Bible says they had works, they had labor. And then they had, he says, patience. And the church was patient. They didn't just give up. They continued to love the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. We're to continue to do what God tells us to do, even if it's tough, to continue going on. And then he says this about the church, because it had been invaded by evil people. He says, thou canst not bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. Whenever God's church gets to working, the devil will always send a missionary in.
Amen.
He will always send somebody in. He'll come in and say, oh, maybe we ought not to do this. Or maybe we ought not to do that. And that missionary will come in and he'll whisper sweet nothings in your ear. But the church at Ephesus said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep on following our Lord.
Amen.
And they continued to follow the Lord. And if, beloved, if the church continues to follow the Lord, I've heard people pray. And they said, oh Lord, don't let the devil get in the church. Beloved, it's not Jesus that keeps the devil out of the church. It is you who keeps the devil out of the church.
Amen.
It is you who stands up to the devil and says, no, I'm not going to have it. It's you who has your Bible in your hand and you're reading that Bible and studying that Bible and loving Jesus.
Amen.
And that's how you keep the devil out of the church.
Amen.
And as the church continues to love Jesus and serve him, he'll push the devil out. I've seen it many a time. But I've seen it go the other way too, where the church listen to the whispers of the dark one, and they went in the wrong direction, and the church fell to pieces.
Amen.
Oh, thank God we're not in that state. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, the church at Ephesus was not in that state. But I want you to notice, he says this, he says in verse number 3, you have borne, you have patience for my name's sake, and you've labored, he uses that word again, and you have not fainted. Through all the suffering, you did not faint. They didn't quit. They honored Jesus and his name. And they persisted in faith in Jesus. But I want you to notice in verse number 4. Here's the words that I'm sure cut the people at Ephesus. Jesus come in and he said, I saw your works. I saw your labor. I saw how you struggled. I saw your patience. I commend you. I pat you on the back. That is a great, great job. But then he says this in verse number 4. I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. The church was growing cold in their love for Jesus. They were growing cold in loving the Lord. You say, how can that be? I tell you, it's easy. It is so easy. I got up one Monday morning and looked at the week. I said, Lord, I've got to make 3 more sermons this week. I've got to go to the hospital. I've got to go to the nursing home. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to go do this thing. And I've got a list of things that I've checked off on. And God grabbed me by the nape of the neck. And he shook me like a bulldog will shake a rat. And he said, who are you doing these things for? You see, we can get busy for God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We get busy for God, running around doing things for God. I do this, I do that. Look at all the things I do. And we're not doing it in the right reason.
Amen.
You see, we're doing it in the flesh.
Right.
And I found myself doing that many times. I want people to pat me on the back and say, oh, what a good preacher you are. You're the best pastor we've ever had. Beloved, that's the flesh.
Right.
That's the flesh. And when you begin to love yourself more than you love Jesus, Jesus knows it.
Amen.
You know, I've seen marriages where they've grown cold. I strive that my marriage doesn't grow cold. You know how a marriage grows cold? When the remote control becomes more important to the man than the wife who gives him all that love. Or when the wife begins to cook just to get it done, just to feed that fat man sitting at the table so she can get back to her gossip session on the telephone. Am I stepping on toes? That's where I was aiming. Amen.
Amen.
I've seen marriages grow cold because people begin to take one another for granted. And they look away from. And I tell you, I don't ever want to take that woman for granted right there. She stood beside me in the hospital when my left leg was nearly torn off of my body. And I don't ever want to grow cold with that woman. We can grow cold with Jesus too. We can start singing songs because the song leader says, turn to him number whatever and just sing them. And we just sing the words and we look at them. You know, for a long time here, I watched this church. And we would sing two hymns at the end of the service, two stanzas, and then we'd put our Bibles up or put our books up. And I noticed something after a while there. Everybody would get up there and he'd say, "You turn to this," and we'd sing two hymns, two stanzas, and then everybody would fold their book up and slide them back into the thing. It's time to go home.
Right.
Beloved, why are you singing the songs? Are you singing the songs to Jesus? Or are you singing the songs because that man gave you the number to turn to?
Right.
Why are you doing it? Why are you bringing your Bibles to church? Are you doing it because you love Jesus, or you want everybody to see you got the biggest Bible in the place? By the way, I think I got the biggest Bible in the place. Amen.
Amen.
But that's not the reason we bring our Bibles.
Amen.
Why are we doing the things that we do? Are we doing it because we love Jesus, or are we doing it to check off a list?
Right.
The worst sermons I ever preach are the ones that I preach trying to check off a list. And God forgive me for those times. God forgive me for those times. We're to serve Jesus with all of our heart.
Amen.
Because He's our first love. He's the one who died on Calvary for us. He's the one who loved us before we ever knew His name. He's the one who died beaten and bruised, spat on and mocked. He's the one who took all of my sins so that I could take all of His glory. He's the one who's building me a mansion in heaven. He's the one that one day I'm going to get to walk on a street of gold. Oh my goodness, I don't have a gold fixture in my house, but one day I'm going to walk on a gold highway.
Amen.
Because of Jesus. Why do we do what we do? Are we doing it just to fill in a blank? Or are we doing it because we love Jesus?
Amen.
Jesus said, "You have lost your first love. You have walked away from what you were supposed to be doing." And then Jesus tells them this. He says, "I want you to do this." And He said in verse number 5, He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." Oh, this was a good church, but He said, "I want you to remember. I want you to go back in your mind to the day when I called you to salvation. I want you to go back in your mind to the day when you were lost and undone. And David, you heard me call you that. I want you to go back in your mind to that day when you felt my hand on your right shoulder."
Amen.
And the preacher stood up there and said, "Whoever's out there today needs Jesus. And he's not going to get another chance. And I want you to go back to that day when you felt me propelling you toward the altar. I want you to go back to that day when you knelt down at the altar and you poured out your heart to me. And when you stood up that day, you almost floated to the ceiling because your sins were gone and you were forgiven. I want you to go back to that day where you felt so clean and so good. I want you to go back to that day when you said, 'I do to me,' and I said, 'I do to you.'
Amen.
And you were married to me eternally through the blood of the Lamb."
Amen.
That's what I want you to go back to.
Amen.
He said, "I want you to remember that." But then He said, "I want you to repent, to stop doing things just to be doing them. But to do them because you love Jesus. To do them because that's what it should be." You see, when you're doing things because you should be doing them, after a while you stop doing them because, quite frankly, they get pretty boring, don't they? But if you're doing them for Jesus, you don't get tired of it. I never tire of doing for Jesus. And that's why I like to look at your beautiful faces. I love you. I love you. But I love you because I love Jesus.
Amen.
And it's got to start here. I've got to do it because I love Jesus. If you're not reaching people, beloved, it's because you're not loving Jesus. Because just filling a block out and checking something off the list, it's not going to touch anybody. But when you love Jesus, you'll go beyond anything else. And you'll do it for Jesus' sake. Jesus said, "I want you to remember, I want you to repent." And then He says this. He says, "Do the first works, love me, or else I will come to thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." I told y'all a few weeks ago, the candlestick represents the church. Do you know that there are 1,000 churches that close in America every year? Do you know why they close? They don't love Jesus. They might have worked. They might have done all the stuff that Ephesus did, but they don't love Jesus. Something else came between them and Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, you'll lose your ministry. God will take the candlestick. You say, oh, Brother David, we own all this land. God will take every bit of it.
Amen.
You say, Brother David, we got a beautiful building here. God will burn it to the ground.
Amen.
You say, Brother David, we got a new fellowship all down there. God will take it away.
Amen.
New floor and all. Amen.
Amen.
If you don't love Jesus, he said, I'll take it all away.
Amen.
I'll take the candlestick away. I'll tear the ministry down. And it won't be there. Because the candlestick exists to burn. I told y'all a few weeks ago, the candlestick, what he's talking about is not the wax part of the candle, but the candelabra part that holds the wax part of the candle.
Amen.
And when that candlestick comes away, the light goes with it. But the candlestick doesn't have its own light. You know what its light is? Its light is Jesus.
Amen.
That's why we love Jesus. Jesus ends with this. In verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh, I'm going to go back and talk about the view again. Where them psychotic women said that Jesus does not talk to people. Y'all heard that, didn't you?
Yes.
Look what he said here. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Jesus speaks to his church.
Amen.
He speaks to his people. He speaks to our hearts and he tells us. He says, I want you to hear this, what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He doesn't say, to him that overcometh, you'll have access. He didn't say that. He didn't say he was a farmer letting you into his field where there's an apple orchard and you could pick all you want and eat to your fill. Do you know what he said in that text? He said, to him that overcometh will I give of the tree of life.
Amen.
To those who love Jesus, one day you will see Jesus in glory. And Jesus will pluck a fruit from that tree of life. And he will walk up to you with that fruit. And he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were given a little, but you did all you could with it. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did the best. You know how. Well done. Well done.
Amen.
Jesus will pluck that fruit. And he'll bring it to our hands. And he'll put it to our lips. And then we'll take a big bite of that tree of life. And we will live forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Because Jesus did that for us. There's a reason we love Jesus. Because it is our personal relationship with him.
Amen.
That fires us up.
Yes, sir.
It's our personal relationship with him that makes it worth it all. It's our personal relationship with Jesus that gets us through the day. Our Jesus brings that to us. He says, take it of that tree of life. If God do it all the time. God is an awesome God. And we're to love him with all of our hearts. And if we love him first, we'll love everybody else. And the devil can't get in. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to give the Lord a hand on that. Amen. Good and faithful song leader, would you come and lead us in one more hymn? And we might not stop on verse 2.
Well, now you put me in a bad spot, so I'm going to skip verse 2. I guess we can't do that. 533. And we'll just do all three verses. Yeah, I better do it now, huh?
I've seen his angel bring.
no better words than that. He lives within my heart. How we love Jesus. I'm going to ask my brother Dean Shelton, if you would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're